Okay, I think on the handout, the second handout you have in the first part of the front page of that handout is our outline for our study. And, you know, we're looking at relationships within the family. And we started with a big introduction and we talked about marriage and family. And then, if you notice, we're looking at the role of the wife, and then we look at the role of the husband and the role of the parents, the role of the children. We're just going to have a great time as we go through all that. Let me remind you that we talked about how marriage is under attack, and we spent some time on that. And then last time, we began really looking at the role of the wife and role of the husband. We put them both together. And then we're going to divide them and go more detail. But as we said, that in Colossians chapter 3, which is where we began and where we've been looking, and I was in a different place, so I want to just turn back over there just to remind you of something. Colossians 3, verse 18 and 19 go together. It says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." They go together. It's the respectful submission of the wife, as we call it, and the loving leadership of the husband. They go together. Wives, submit and respect. Husbands, love, and lead. That's the big overarching thing. So this morning, we're going to, as we continue, I think we got to the page where we talked about what is the wife to do, what's her responsibilities. We're going to just touch on that, and then we'll get to what if the husband doesn't do what he's supposed to do. What does the wife do? We'll see that as well. We'll get that overhead in just a minute. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for each one that is here. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that in your perfect plan, you have brought together men and women to come together in family units, to leave their mother and father and cleave to each other and to build that family unit. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for husbands and wives and parents and children and our roles that you have for us. And Lord, we realize that if we want to be successful as far as you're concerned, not necessarily as the world is concerned, but successful as far as you're concerned, we live according to the roles that you have for us. And so, Lord, we ask you that as we study and continue to study these things, that each one of us, the men and the women, especially when we're thinking about these roles in these next week or two, that you will teach us, that we'll see what the truths are, and that we will make a choice, that we will live according to your word. Lord, we ask you right now to teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We said overarching for the woman. We said there's an overarching responsibility, you might say, and that is to submit to the husband. In fact, Ephesians 5, if you want to just turn there, you don't have to, because we're going to go to Titus in just a second. So just go ahead and go to Titus chapter 2 if you want to for the role of the women. But let me remind you something. In Ephesians, it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord." Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. As the church submits to Christ, the wives ought to their husbands and everything. And we spent some time looking at submission. It's the Greek word hupotasso, which means under authority. It means coming under authority. The husband is not the boss. He is the head and the leader, but he's not the boss. And so wives submit, and they come under the authority, recognizing it has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. It has to do with roles that God has ordained and established. So we see that the wives submit. We also saw in verse 33 that they're to respect their husbands. Now, those two things go together, because it's really hard to submit to somebody you don't respect. And so we called it respectful submission. For the husband, we saw that verse 35 said, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And we talked about loving leadership, because he's the head and the leader. And so those two roles we just did a big overview of and said, wives, respectful submission, husbands, loving leadership. From there, we then, as we continued on, we went to these two questions, I think, for the wife. What is the wife's responsibilities? Now, these are more of the details. And then what if the husband's not leading as he should? Because that's really one of the real key questions. Now, how far did we get some of those? We got some of that, didn't we? What is the wife's responsibilities? Didn't we go to Titus, or did we? We did? Okay, turn over to Titus chapter 2. I just want you to see this quickly, to remind ourselves this. We talked about in Titus chapter 2, it talks about older men and older women and younger men and younger women and what they're supposed to do. But in Titus, we said that there were four aspects there. I want you to look at it with me. The older women are those who have already raised their children. When people talk about the Bible, the older woman or the younger woman, or whatever how you're going to put it, how do people say, how do you know if you're the older woman? Some girls, some women say, when you get married, you become the older. No, you don't. Then sometimes they say, okay, when you have children, you become the older woman. No, you don't. You become the older woman when your children are raised. And in this passage, it says older women are to teach the younger women, and it lists four key things that they're to teach them. And down in verse 5, in the verse 4 says, to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home. It goes on to say kind, and then it talks about subjection. Sort of comes back to the main thing. We talked about this last week about they love their husbands. and they love their children, and they are to be taught that, and they are to be godly women. If you notice, it says, be sensible, pure workers at home. Sensible and pure, godly women. I said last week, there's nothing worse than a beautiful woman who's not holy. And then the last one, word number four, was the thing that I think that people sometimes get bothered by, and that is to be a worker at home. And that's the Greek word is oikoergon. Oikos, which means house, ergon means work. So oikoergon is the worker at home. The role of the woman, and we're not talking about whether she can work outside the home. We're not even saying that. That's between her and her husband. That's a whole different issue. But the wife's responsibility is to take care of the home. The woman makes it a home. We talked about it last week. When a guy's by himself, all of us single guys, when we were out there, we had houses or we had a place that we lived. It really wasn't a home. It was a place where we came in and left. Come in and go out. We had those black leather couch and all that stuff that disappeared last week when I married Jean, and I come out and it's on the front lawn, you know. And why is that? Because she makes it a home. And I had it as a house. And we say that it's powerful. I want to say this again because I brought it out last week. When somebody says to the woman, well, if you just stay at home, or if you're taking care of the house, that's, you're not very valuable. I mean, what's the valuable one is the one out there with a job and working and making money. Let me tell you, the hardest thing that any woman can do is take care of her home. It's the hardest thing. I mentioned last week that they're the teachers, the decorators, the cooks, the hygienists. They put it all together. They do it all. We said this, that if a woman teaches others' children, she's a teacher. But if she teaches her own children, she's a mom. If she is an interior decorator, she has this career. But if she decorates her home, she's just fixing up the house. If she takes care of others when they're sick, she's a nurse. But if she takes care of her own children, she's just mom. And that's what Dr. Mom does. That's the cough medicine that she uses. That's the kind of thing. They touch their home, their children, their families, their husbands as nobody else can. So when we talk about the role of the wife, the overarching role is respectful submission, coming under the authority of the husband and respecting him. Her actual responsibilities tie back to loving her husband, loving her children. And I told you 2 weeks ago that the word for loving her husband, is one word in the Greek. It's the word is husband lover. And then the word loving your children is also one word in the Greek, children lover. That's what it means. It says be a husband lover and a children lover. Love your husband, love your children, be a pure woman, and take care of your home. Our culture is opposed to this. Our culture says everybody divides everything equally. Husband and wife do the same thing. They both can go out and earn the living. They both take care of the house. It doesn't work that way, and you know that. Men aren't going to take care of the house. You already know that. Whenever you as a woman decide you're going to do both roles, just get ready. He will never do both roles. It's rare. As we brought that quote last week, it's rare if a man's going to even help around the house much. So the idea there is that the woman loves her husband, loves her children, is a pure, godly woman, and takes care of her home. People get mad in our culture. But the responsibility of the man is to provide for the needs of his family, and the responsibility of the woman is to take care of her home. We didn't say anything about whether you work outside the home. You can do that. Do that if you want to. That has nothing to do with the roles. When you stand before Jesus Christ, when a woman stands before Christ, he's going to say, was it respectful submission? And did you love your husband, love your children? Were you a pure, godly woman? Did you take care of your house? That's their roles and responsibilities. Now, what do you do if the husband is not leading as he should? What if he's not a godly man? What if he doesn't do the things he's supposed to do? Because we've already said the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, and he's the loving leader. But what if he's not leading? What if he's not loving? What if he's not doing the things? That's the second big question. What if he's not doing what he should? Well, I want you to look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Talks about the wives. It by the way, it gives 6 verses on the wife and 1 on the husband. Anyway, and we'll see that later on, especially when we get to this. And my point is that we're so dumb, 1 verse, and we just go, okay, whatever you say. We don't know. You know. And wives, so explain it to me one more time. Please make sure I've got this down, because I want to do it perfectly. That's what a white woman would say. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3 is talking about submission and all of these things. And what about a husband? And it goes on and says, in the same way, you wives, 1 Peter chapter 3, be submissive to your own husbands. Okay? And we'd say, well, that's nothing new there. That's nothing new there. Notice, though, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. We'll stop there. What if the husband's really not doing what he's supposed to do? Let's look at it this way. We're going to give you two scenarios. What if the husband is not a believer? Now, we already know that, biblically speaking, a believer and an unbeliever aren't supposed to be married, aren't supposed to get married. And sometimes a person who's a believer will marry an unbeliever. Then they go into a marriage relationship, and let's just pretend the wife's the believer, but the husband's not. There's problems there. Sometimes two unbelievers get married, and into that thing, one of them believes in Jesus. And let's pretend that here's this couple gets married, neither one of them are Christians, and then she comes to know Christ as her Savior. And he's, when it says that he is disobedient, I'm going to give you two scenarios. He's disobedient to the word. We're going to say that he is not believing in Christ. What do you do? Do you tell him, honey, you got to go to church with me? I've got to get you there. You've got to see this. I mean, it's going to be okay that she might say, honey, I just want you to know what happened to me. I believed in Jesus. I have eternal life. And he may say, I'm not interested in that right now. Maybe that she goes to church and he doesn't. It could be. But you got to be careful. Number one is you don't nag. You don't nag. John MacArthur tells the story of a woman who's, she became a believer and her husband wouldn't listen to her. And basically she tried to nag and nag and nag. And she said that she would put that when he, on his coffee cup, when he picked up his coffee cup to drink, underneath his coffee cup, it had a little sign, trust Jesus, you know. And she was driving him nuts, you know. And so the key is not to nag. Here's what it says to do. And we're going to talk about disobedient to the word. And we're going to use this example, the fact that disobedient word means he's not believing in Christ. If any of disobedient to the word, they may be one, we say one to the Lord, without a word, by the behavior of their wives. How they live, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Look down at verse 4. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Sometimes, by the grace of God, if you are a believer and your husband is not, when you live a godly life before them, sometimes they're one to Christ. Doesn't have to be because you nag them all the time or tell them they need to trust Christ and do this and this. And it may be the time comes you get to be the one to lead them to Christ, but that's a thing. The second aspect of this, of when it says be disobedient to the word, could be just meaning they're a believer, but they're not living out scriptural truths in their lives. They're not living according to Scripture. There are a lot of believers who don't live out the Bible. There are a lot of husbands who are Christians, but they're not living according to Scripture. They're not taking that loving leadership. They're not doing the things they're supposed to do, as we'll see in the next handout. What do you do? It says, in the same way, even if they're disobedient to the word, they may be one without a word. They may be one to begin to live by the Scripture, by the wise behavior. They observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Verse 5, notice, for in this way in former times, holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves being submissive to their own husbands. When the woman fulfills her role, even when the man does not, there is a possibility if the man is not fulfilling his role, maybe he's not a believer or maybe he's just a disobedient believer. When you fulfill your role, there is a possibility, a good possibility, that he may be one to the Lord. As he looks at your respectful behavior, as he sees your hidden and quiet person of the heart and a gentle and quiet spirit, as he says in verses 4 and 5. And that's the key. Let me tell you, people talk about this and I always tell people, I said, do you think marriage is 50-50? And what do people say? A lot of people say, yeah. I say, no, it's 100-0. It's 100-0. You do what you're supposed to do whether your partner does or not. It's 100-0. It's not 50-50. It's supposed to be 100-100. If it's 100-100, things are real good. If it's 150, they're okay. If it's 100-0, they're not that much fun, but it's still, you've got to do the 100. So we're responsible to fulfill our roles regardless of whether the other spouse fulfills the role or not. So when we talk about the role of the wife, of the women, it is respectful submission, loving husbands, loving children, being godly, taking care of the home, and that if the husband is not doing what he's supposed to with that quiet and gentle spirit, with that behavior of a godly woman, with the idea of a hidden person with an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, precious in the sight of God, it's being submissive to their husbands, who knows what can happen? Who knows what can happen? There's an old saying that says, submission is knowing how to duck so God can hit your husband. Wives are to submit. Husbands are to love. By your godly living, you can affect your husband. Now, we saw those two things. What's the role? What if he's not doing? Let me raise some questions because you're toward the end, right? We're almost at the end of the little chapter or the little handout there. Okay, so what we've seen, and I'm going to give you some applications. I think we got a couple applications at the end. And then we'll start lesson three, okay? So you've been filling in. Everybody's been filling in, right? Okay. All right. Here's some applications. As believers, may we be the pattern for family relationships. This is what we want to do. This is a big overall application, what we've seen at the end of this lesson. We want to be the pattern. We don't want to be shaped by our culture. It is so easy to be like everybody else. I'm teaching a class on Tuesday nights at CBI called Biblical Finances, and we just talk about what the Bible has to say about money and finances and things like credit cards and borrowing and buying cars and homes and all of the stuff, you know, saving and giving. We just talk about everything. And one of the issues there is we want to be wise stewards of what God's given us, and we do not want to be shaped by our culture, because our culture tells us one thing and the Word of God tells another. In the same way, in this subject of being husbands and wives and family relationships, we want to be a pattern, biblical pattern, for family relationships. We don't want to be shaped by our culture. We want to live out the Word of God in our culture and make a commitment to your husband and to your wife and to your family that you're going to live by the Scripture. That's the key. It's two. Wives, respectfully submit to your husbands. That's a hard thing. God has placed your husband in a position of authority and leadership over you. We talked about this several weeks ago, that God has places of authority and leadership all the way through in every responsibility, whether it's teachers to students and government to people and elders in a local church, and Christ is ahead of the church, and husbands ahead of the wife, and the parents are ahead of the children, and it's just all kinds of places of authority and submission throughout this world. God places those things. So, wives, respectfully submit to your husbands, coming under that authority, understand your role, fulfill your responsibilities. It's love your husband, love your children, be holy, take care of the home, be a godly woman. I tell you, Proverbs 31, a lot of people talk about Proverbs 31, and a lot of people will say, well, she's a Proverbs 31 woman. That'd be a good thing to be. It'd be a good thing to be. So, women, if you want to, go to Proverbs 31 and read that and think about what it says and say, would my family say that I'm a Proverbs 31 woman? When I stand before my Savior Jesus Christ, is He going to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Well done in the fact that you loved your husband and loved your children and you took care of your home and you were a godly woman and you respectfully submitted to the authority over you. What you want to do. I'm not going to leave the men out on this one. Number three is, husbands, lead your wives by love. We're going to see more as we start lesson three in just a minute, because we got about 10 or 12 minutes, and so we're going to look at it. But it is a sacrificial love. Husbands, love and lead. The husband is not the boss. Morton T. Kinsley says this: the real test of my loving is not that I feel loving, but the other person feels loved by me. See, it's not feelings. But to be careful, love your wives. Know the decisions you make as a husband, as you're the head and you're the leader, and you're going to have to make the best decisions according to the Word of God and for your family. So there's some great things there. All right, that's that lesson, right? Okay, let's look at lesson three. By the way, before we go to the role of the men, we need to say, are there any questions, comments, inputs about the role of the wives? What now?
Probably one of the oldest ones in here.
Okay.
Back when I raised my children. Some years ago, the wife did. You know, the husband says, I'm going out making a living. Mm-hmm. You take the kids to church, you raise the kids in the Lord's house. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean that he wasn't a Christian, it just said, you do this, you do that. I have brought several people to this church, which is a fellowship. Mm-hmm. And her first comment is, I am totally surprised at the men that are working in the Lord's house.
I think there's been some changes. Well, let me tell you this. We're a unique church. Did you hear what she said about that she brings people to our church as visitors are coming? And their comment to her is, all these men that are here. Well, let me say this, that 50 years ago, I don't know, I, of course, I didn't go to church at all. I don't know exactly how it was. I know historically as a whole that men tend to sometimes think of religion, and I'm using that as a broad term. I don't call Christianity religion, but sometimes in the United States, especially, men look at Christianity or look at religion as almost a sissy deal, especially some years ago, but men have changed. One thing for sure is that even in our culture, the modern church today in the 2000s, still 65% of all people who go to church are women. 30-something% men. So most churches have twice as many women going to church as they do men. And I think that men, number one, use the excuse of I'm busy working and I'm too tired, and you. And they're abdicating their spiritual responsibility and their headship in their homes. We're going to talk about it in just a minute when we get in the role of the husband. So you're exactly right. I think many men abdicate their leadership, and that's why a lot of women are frustrated, because they don't want to lead. A lot of them actually are having to take leadership in the family when it ought to be the husband doing it. It's because the husband doesn't do it. I think there's a second reason, and I meant that. I think that Christianity, if you're not careful, that historically it has been brought up to appeal. To not appeal to men. In some churches you go in, everybody's got on robes, everything's got flowers, there's stained glass, everybody's nice, everybody shake hands like this. And men say, I don't attract me, robes don't attract me, flowers don't attract me, stained glass doesn't attract me. Are there any men around here? I can remember that I went to church some two times, once when I was 6 and a couple of times when I was 12. And I remember thinking, I'm just going to be honest with you, I thought pastors are all sissies. And I was involved with sports and stuff, but I just thought they were all sissies. And then I met Nap Clark, and Nap Clark was the pastor that y'all have heard me talk about. He played football at Colorado State years ago. And I remember we were trying to move something, and I had just met him, and there were like 4 or 5 of us guys, and there was Nap. And Nap picked up one end, and the rest of us guys picked up the other end. And I thought, you know, that Nap's not a sissy. He's not a sissy. I mean, I had a wrong conception. I think a lot of people have a wrong conception. You know, it surprises people if they don't know my background about sports. It surprises them that I'm, as a pastor, like sports. They go, I didn't know pastors like sports. I said, what do you think they like? Oh, they like to sit around and talk and drink coffee and And so I think for a lot of men, they see this as not a strong thing. If men would take their role, it is a strong thing. In fact, it's a hard thing. And I see that our church, we have, I think we got more men than women, where in most churches it's 2/3 women and 1/3 men. Because we've got guys that have stepped forward and said, I see from the Bible my role, my pattern, I'm the spiritual leader, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church, I'm to lead, I'm to direct, I'm to nourish and cherish and provide and protect, and I'm to do these things. And men, I think a lot of men in our church, by the grace of God, see their roles. And they should. So I think things, some have changed, but even in a pattern across the United States, it's still 2/3 of the church are mostly women. And so it's I think it's perceived wrong. Well, let's start lesson 3, and we're going to talk about it. Where, if you want to, you can go back again to Colossians chapter 3. This is where we'll start as we go through this. In Colossians 3, we're seeing those different roles, of course, husband and wife and parents and children. And we're going to look at the role of the husband. And if you look at Colossians 3, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not be embittered against them. And we'll see how that fits. We've been seeing how those who have been raised up with Christ are to live. We're to be different. We're to, how do we live in this fallen world? And this is what we're looking at. Now, let me give you this. We're going to start where it says introduction. I think one of the greatest messages ever spoken, of course, was Jesus. And I mean, anytime Jesus spoke, think about it. Have you ever thought about this? That when Jesus spoke, everything he said was the word of God. Everything he said was the word of God, because he's God. So whatever he says is. But there are times that he'd actually sit down and teach. And one of the great passages was in Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. We call that the Sermon on the Mount, in which he sat down and he talked. But there is a statement that, I know that's the bell, and I know time is just about up, but I want you to hear this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Notice I've got what we treasure, we love. Now, most of the time, we think about it backwards. We say what we love, we treasure. No, he says what you treasure, you will love. What you count as important, that's what you're going to love. Most of the time we say, oh, whatever I love, that's what I count as important. No, it's the opposite way. Whatever you think is important, whatever you treasure, you will love. What do you treasure? And let's talk to men for a second, because this is ours. We were on the women for a couple of weeks. And so we'll go very quickly through this section. Very, very quickly. In fact, I think we're through now. And let's go on to lesson four. Okay, but think about it, men. What do you treasure? What do you count as valuable? Sometimes it's tools. Sometimes it's trucks. Sometimes it's gadgets. What do we count as valuable? Men, the focus is on us. And think about our wives. Do we count them as valuable? Do we treasure them? Because what we treasure, that is what we will love. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians. Husbands, cherish your wife. 1 Peter. Husbands, grant her honor. As we see what we're to do, because we've been placed as the head of the home, we're the leaders, we find that in our relationship with our wives, we are to count them as valuable. Now, it is so easy to take people for granted. Let me tell you, most of the time, and I'm not talking about just men here, I'm talking about all of us, we treat strangers better than we treat our loved ones, because there's a stranger we don't know. Excuse me. With our people, we just walk right past. We just want, we just take advantage of people that we're close to. We just take them for granted. We cannot take our relationships for granted. And men, we'll start with us for a second. We cannot take the relationship with our wives for granted. It's easy to do it. We're used to them. They love us. They said they did. And so we go, yeah. And let me tell you, us men, and we'll get to this next week, but, we're hunters, right? We're hunters. Women are gatherers. Men are hunters. We go to Walmart, and we walk into Walmart, and they say, can I help you? We already know where we're going. Excuse me, I'm going over there. I'm going to get that green weed eater thing. We already know what we're going after. A woman could go to Walmart, and they say, can I help you? I'm just shopping. I'm just looking around. I may get white shoes over here. I may get these white shoes. I may go to four other stores because I don't know which white shoes I want. We're going for the weed eater because we know exactly what we want. We're hunters. And when we were going after those wives, those girlfriends to be our wives, we hunted them down. We did whatever it took to get them, right? We're so sweet and sensitive. We talk about things we would never want to talk about. We watch movies that are girl movies and we're going, isn't that the sweetest thing? And we do anything because we'll do whatever it takes to what? To get them. And then we get them. And we get married, and we're so happy. And then we're hunters, and so what's the next thing we're going after? It's my job. I'm going to be successful in my job, so I'm going to pursue that. And we don't pursue her anymore, because we already got her. And so men have to be very careful, because you got to continue to pursue and love the one you went after and got. Because, see, we go, okay, I got that. Now, what's my next project? What's the next thing I'm going after? And so we have to be careful. And so as we look at the roles of the husband and the wife and the man, especially in this passage, the chapter, this study, we're going to look at the man. Realize whatever you count as valuable, that's what you're going to love. Whatever you count as valuable, that's what you're going to love. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Is that the second bell? Okay, since it's the second bell, just remember that where it says role of the family, we just put them together. They go together. What is the wife to do in verse 18? Okay, you can, it's submit really, but you can put respectfully submit. And in verse 19, what does the husband do? He loves. And if you want to put loving leadership there, you can, because we're going to get it. And I've got the review of the wife. If you notice at the bottom of the page, respectful submission. And as someone would say, don't you forget it, And then you go over to the role of the man. If you notice, just flip the page over to the top, page two. If you notice the page two toward the bottom, what does it say about the husband? Loving leadership. What we'll do next week is, as we get into this, I'll give a quick review of those things, and then we'll get in exactly what the role of the husband is. Men, I think it's powerful that we become the loving leaders. That's what we're supposed to be. We all say, well, we want our wives to be respectful submitters. We want them to submit and come under the authority and to respect and all this. And by the way, I want you to know this, that a man feels loved when he feels respected. You just got to know that. You want your husband to feel loved, you show him respect, and he feels loved. And for the woman, you want her to be loved, you've got to provide and protect. You've got to take care of her. You're her strength. You're her protector and provider. There's some great things. Okay, that was second bell, wasn't it? Okay, all right, we'll get into lesson three and a lot of details for the men next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for these roles. And Lord, I just pray that all of us in this room will look at our positions and that we will live out our positions as godly men and women. And we think about the wives and their role. Lord, we think about the husbands, especially the fact that we're to love and to lead and we're to provide and protect and we're to be sensitive and understanding and all of these things, and that we're to treasure our wives, because we know that whatever we treasure, that's what we're going to love. So, Lord, may we do that. Lord, help us as we study these passages so that we can be godly men and women making an impact for you in this community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.